Morning, San Bonani. Good day. 2024 happened. Right now we have GNU, Government of National Unity. Most parties managed to join the crew, and some parties said no, we'll rather be on the benches. And one of those parties is ATM. They are back in parliament with two seats still. And in studio to discuss the party's position and their plans for the next 5 years is Luyanda Msipa. Luyanda Msipa is the provincial executive member of ATM. And Luyanda, welcome to the show, my brother. How's it?
Good afternoon, Bafana. Good afternoon to the audience. I'm okay.
You're okay? Okay. You look at the results. Like many of South Africans, we are looking at that chart before it went down midnight. But how was the response of the party? What is your view on the elections?
Well, I think to be honest, we were expecting more.
Yeah.
In the elections, I mean, we are a party led by a very young president, very energetic president, Vuyo Zomola.
Mm-hmm.
So expecting more.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, yeah, we did not get as much as we were hoping for.
Yes.
Also, I mean, there are other underlying issues, you know. Mm-hmm. We've raised a complaint with the IEC.
Mm-hmm.
That obviously is still ongoing. We'll see how the process unfolds and where it ends. But overall, look, we're not happy. One, through the process, the voting process, but also in terms of our expectations.
So what did you support the MK party in their quest to declare this election unfair?
Yeah, well, you could say that although that obviously they've withdrawn their case, I think whether you've heard, I think that's what I understand at this point in time. We've gone ahead with ours. So our case is quite independent from theirs because we also had our own grievances in terms of the process that IEC, you know, how they handle this process.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see how the entire process unfolds. We want to declare these elections null and void, really. That's
the crux of it.
Yeah.
And if you had to mention maybe two things that maybe informs your litigation process, your lawsuit, what would they be?
Well, you'd have seen that, you know, some of the numbers that were really captured, you know, at the VDs would be completely different from the numbers that are presented, you know, by IEC or that are captured by IEC.
Mm.
So it raises, you know, a number of questions. You'll see, I mean, the opposition party currently, which is part of what they call the GNU, which is essentially a coalition between the ANC and the DA, and obviously including others.
Mm.
I mean, the DA, you don't know how they got those numbers, even, you know, from townships. it's quite shocking.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not there. We're just raising our own to say, you know, we've got numbers that really, when we compare to what we got on the VDs versus V, what was captured.
Mm.
So there are many irregularities in terms of this election. So we want that to be reviewed. And obviously, if we found to say, well, everything was fine, was above board, or that little discrepancies really have no material effect, then we're happy we can proceed going forward.
Somebody would say maybe you are just being, as it was said to most parties that joined the MK party press briefing, and some were saying, but they are so losers. Why can't just accept the election for what they are? EFF also came out with 9% and they accepted the elections. Why can't you just do the same thing like any other party?
I think maybe the starting point is to say we did not really join the MK. MK joined the progressive parties. We were one of the first parties who formed part of the progressive parties. MK called the press briefing after that to announce that they will be joining the progressive parties.
Yes.
That's number one. Number two is that I think it's a matter of principle. Because this is how democracies get waned over time. Because if you let the little things go away, you know, without being challenged, ultimately tomorrow they become bigger things because you've accepted the smaller thing that happened someday. So I think for us it's a matter of principle, and it's a matter of protecting our democracy, making sure that the institution that we place there, particularly such as IEC, continue to play and safeguard our democracy. So in a nutshell, that's what we're trying to, you know, it's a matter of principle. Make sure that we protect the democracy.
And I guess the question for most voters is, according to your analysis, what could have been what alluded to this disappointing, not so disappointing per se, but fairly being back to parliament with two seats? What alluded to that? Could it be that your campaigning messaging was not as strong? Could it be that maybe some people jumped ship to MK? What would you say is the reason why the party did not have substantive growth?
Yeah, I suppose there are several issues. Take out the IEC issue, which what I've said. But also, I mean, there are a lot of dynamics in SA in terms of politics.
Yes.
One of those you'd notice to say, you know, there's an issue, there are issues of ideology, issues of ideology in the country. And, you know, you've got parties which are on your left, parties which are on your right. And you've got the middle ground, you know, people who are saying, oh, for us, what we care for is if we're employed, if the economy is doing well, whether the economy is going south or is going west, they don't care. They just want jobs. So if you assess it, you understand to say, you know, the pool that where we are, because we're a leftist party, as defined in the country. Although, I mean, our ideology is humanism. Obviously biased to those, you know, who are, you know, subjected to poverty and that. It happens to be blacks in this country. So if you look at that pool, there's competition there, but that pool is not growing. If you look at, there's ATM, there's EFF, there's now MK, there's PAC, competing for the same space, which that pool is really not growing compared to the, you know, to the other pool, you know, of the liberals and that. You can see that pool is growing, but also it grows on the back of, you know, the capitalist view to say we'll create employment, we'll create 1, 2, 3. At the same time, the employment they're creating is not really benefiting in real terms the black people, you know. So I think that space is really, you know, getting smaller and smaller, but we need to continue preaching our message and getting people to sympathize with us. But the reality also is that, you know, the MK came in and, you know, it was, it really took everyone by storm. I mean, I don't think anyone can deny their presence in the last election. So I think it affected us as well.
Yeah, I think maybe some would say ATM is viewed as more of, I mean, you are, you focus on traditional leaders, religious community, and MK actually came at the full force to literally get that. Most of their vote came from the kings, and they came from the religious community, and mostly from the ANC internally. So do you feel like maybe you might have been replaced by MK party?
Not necessarily, and I don't think their vote particularly came from the kings and that. I think their vote came at the back of the failing ANC, and you know, you'd understand how, you know, Zuma used, you know, President Zuma used that to say, that line to say, I'm still a member of the ANC.
Sure.
And I mean, if you had listened to the SG of the ANC yesterday, admitted to say, I mean, that really took a biggest chunk of the ANC and you know, from them. But also, you know, his personality, you know, particularly in his home province, is a guy that's likable. And I mean, it did not take vote only from the ANC, also took vote from
the IFP
and the likes. You know, for us, I think it's a matter of, you know, making head, you know, because like I said, we're in the leftist party. So people who sympathize with us are the very same people that really sympathize with the radicals and that, which now went to President Zuma and some with the EFF. So that's what I'm saying. We need to grow that pool. And hopefully on the next election, we'll do better. But it's not necessarily that, you know, they took much of our votes now.
Most parties went into this election focusing on targeting young people, the youth of this country. And still, we didn't see many of them go out as we had anticipated. The question then becomes, did you have a message for young people directly as a party? And how do you build from what you have seen as a result of this election?
We did, and I think it's part of our responsibility to make sure that, you know, we talk to the young people to go out there and vote and exercise their rights.
Yeah.
But it's very difficult to convince young people, you know, at the state of the country where there's so much unemployment. You know, things are not happening. We've got a government that continuously, you know, wants to create dependency of the young people to itself. But also, we feel that IEC in the next election should do much more. And I think they did a good work in terms of, you know, making sure they canvass, but they should, you know, have a particular focus on young people. Although some of us, you know, will try and assist as the parties, with limited resources, but we do try. But I think, you know, there was much improvement in terms of the young people that came out and went and voted this coming election.
One thing that you would see, my brother, is that even parties that were previously more radical, some were anti-DA, some anti-ANC. They've joined the government of national unity. Why did you not join the government of national unity? Did the president not call the Mr. Zongola? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think for us, it's a matter of principle.
Mm.
And I mean, if you look at our president, if you look at our party, you know, things that we said in 2019 when we first set our foot in the National Assembly,
mm.
it's still the same thing that we're talking about today.
Mm.
The position that we took, the stance that we took, is still the very same stance that we have today.
Mm.
So it means, you know, we're a party with a backbone, we're a party that is really, you know, got principles.
Mm. Mm.
So coming to what is called the GNU, as I've said earlier on, and our president is very clear on this, to say that is just a coalition between the DA and the ANC,
mm.
Driven by what is called these days the markets, because clearly we've got something that is really foreign to us. Well, mm. it's been there, but it's really now, you know, going overboard to even extend that is tempering with democracy to mm. a point that you'll hear to say the market would not be happy if ANC forms a coalition with MK or EFF.
Mm.
So meaning the markets, you know, they've got a louder voice more than the democracy itself or more than the people itself. Mm. So clearly that coalition is given bed by the markets or external forces.
But then,
so we do not want to be part of that. We want to be part, you mm. know, of a government, of a coalition that is set on principle, that would have a memorandum of understanding to say this is the action plan going forward.
But Luyanda,
yes,
to come back to you, somebody else will argue that as much as we understand the issue of markets, but you also have other parties there that, like your PAC, like your Patriotic Alliance, mm. like your parties that, like your Al Jamaa, parties mm. that usually markets won't react to. Mm. But maybe the markets are looking at the unified country and not necessarily a destabilized country. Mm. Maybe some of them, they foresee that if the ANC and MK party and the EFF join hands, we might have a radical approach towards issues. Mm. And maybe they are supporting the unified approach, regardless of whoever is in it. I mean, don't only have DA there, you also have IFP, also have many other parties that have joined and been part of this. So don't you think they'd rather chose to forget about whatever they have against one another and put the country first?
Yeah, like I say, I think you correctly put it, to say their fear was that should the ANC, you know, form coalition with MK or the DA, there'll be a radical approach, which mm, is what mm, we need to mm. underline there.
Yes.
In other words, there'll be a change of direction in terms of the direction of the country.
Mm.
So in other words, even the coalition between the DA and the ANC has got a particular direction, and mm. that direction is to keep the status quo and rather focus on the private sector, include more private sector. So it's a direction on its own. I don't think the GNU,
mm.
is really concerned about UDM or PAC.
Mm.
But their biggest concern is the DA and the ANC, which are the majority, which they know. I mean, if you look at the ANC under Cyril Ramaphosa,
mm.
has been a DA on its own.
Mm.
So it's more of a continuation. In fact, it's a booster, you know, having the DA mm. with the ANC of Ramaphosa, because they are working for the same people. So it's a direction on its own, mm. taking us, you know, in a very wrong direction in our own view.
But my counter argument would be, we had power for 30 years in this government. We had 60% majority in parliament. Whatever radical views or radical policies we wanted to implement, we had the time, the opportunity, and even the voting to do that. However, they did not do that. The progressive forces, whatever, the comrades, even the EFF itself, when it was pushed to vote with the ANC to expropriate land, they said no. When the ANC was pushed to vote with the EFF for land, they said no. So clearly this radical approach, it has been proven itself to be not fruitful. But now maybe the change that South Africans need was to say, maybe this approach of comrades over-promising and not delivering, it's useless. Let's rather have a government of both people from both sides of the coin working together for the greater good.
No, I hear you. Although, I mean, if you look at the last 30 years, I mean, the first term of really Nelson Mandela was really about reconciliation. So we can minus that.
Mm, mm.
The second term or the second two terms that followed
former
President Thabo Mbeki.
And the markets were very good, eh?
The markets were very good. But, you know, he was on the same tune. You know, you'd say that the DA was in charge, you know, because the policies that he drove, he was really, you know, the market guy. The economy was growing at about 4 or 5% in average a year. But in real terms, show me black people that benefited on that, except for jobs. And that, because once that economy, you know, collapsed, black people were retrenched. What did they have? Nothing. So it was an economy built at the back of benefiting the real, you know, the real beneficiaries of the economy, the drivers of the economy, which is white and big companies. And that's what Thabo Mbeki was there for. I mean, there's no real change that he had done. I mean, the least improvement came, you know, even on the last term of President Zuma, because on his first term also, you know, he continued on the same trajectory. But we saw him starting to change, you know, introducing significant changes in terms of the mining charter, introducing 30% in terms of the mining. So we saw real changes there. And partly that is why maybe he was pushed out. But, you know, only on his last five terms that we saw something real or radical policies. But in any way, you know, we don't want to dwell in that. Our stance currently is that the ANC and the DA coalition will continue on the same trajectory of benefiting white people, on privatizing SOEs, on trying to collapse Eskom so that they can create space for SOE. So it's that neoliberalism economy that they are trying to build. Where else we are saying we don't want to be part of this. For us is a, because for us, you know, we've got our trust in the people and we're true to the people. So whatever that we will do, we'll make sure that it benefits the people in real terms and not just in terms of jobs and 1, 2, 3. Jobs are welcome and we're happy if they can create jobs.
Well, what are those terms? Well, what are those real terms per se?
Well, the real terms is ownership. If you don't own anything, I mean, currently, if you can show me currently, I mean, any black person that owns an insurance company, any black people that owns, you know, a banking system, any black people that own cereals in terms of land, that owns the means of production, there's none. So we continue to be bystanders in our own country, where else we've got a government that claims to be doing something about that. So that can't be right. And we think this is the time that, you know, South Africans really change their mind and understand to say, at this rate, we'll be on another 30 years still in the same position, because then what is happening is just characters. This one is being employed, getting retrenched, you get to the same position, we'll continue on the same trajectory. For us to effect real change, we need parties like the ATM.
I think also, and most people, why they voted how they voted would be that for the past 30 or even beyond that, the narrative of land, the narrative of claiming, taking the banks and whatever, all the, we all know the radical or the narrative of what it means to be politically woke as an African. That has always been used as a narrative or a rhetoric. However, whenever we put people in power, they've never really brought that. When the EFF came into power, it had so many votes because people believed that, okay, these ones would be the ones to implement this message that we've been hearing for over 30 years. But it seems like the people of South Africa have given up on this narrative and they are looking for a Mandela perspective of a rainbow nation, white and blacks, wacky colors, and everyone working together to build a country than to continue fighting for this narrative that slowly but surely is not bearing any fruit. It just makes our leaders richer while we are poor in the townships.
I think the biggest change that you effect is not necessarily, you know, take for example the EFF. They're in a position, I mean, they can try and influence policies or, you know, in parliament through legislature, but that's where it really ends. The biggest issue remains with the government. And for the last 30 years, the government that has been there was the ANC. And I don't really call them the government. I think they are just managers because they don't really effect any changes. I mean, the land expropriation bill in parliament, you can see, I mean, they holding their legs because there's so much influence. There's so much external forces that really, you know, divert the ANC attention. Like I've just said now, you know, at some point, you know, there was this famous, you know, rating agencies that were there. Whenever, you know, the last 5 years of President Zuma trying to make radical decisions and the rand would fall. I mean, you saw even now when they were threatening to say there could be, you know, a collision between the ANC and the MK. You know, the rand was very active. The markets were very active.
Yeah, very quick, yeah.
Showing, you know, those external forces which are quite powerful. And I think at some point we just need a government that will just, you know, put their heads on the ground and work for the people. There may be consequences, but obviously, you know, I think the BRICS strategy that, you know, President Zuma took was quite a good strategy to make sure that when we take radical decision and when we go the direction that we're going, we've got something that at least is going to cushion us so that we don't become the next Zimbabwe.
But the question, usually, Leander, what you end up having, and I hear what you say, and I think to most of people, or South Africans, it has become more of a rhetoric. For example, Zuma was in power for 10 years, right? Yeah. Only when he's about to get booted out, he comes with free education. He comes with a 30% mining charter. He comes with all these radical view policies. And then there's something called radical RET forces within the ANC. But all of these things, they are revived whenever our leaders are pushed into a corner because they've been found to be corrupt or if there's a lawsuit against them. Then they revive this either the radical African, pan-Africanist view, and then whenever things go out, they cool down. I mean, he was in power for 10 years. Even with the BRICS bloc, I mean, most people were like, okay, BRICS will work to empower Africa. But then there's also a question on the influence of, aren't we choosing another colonizer in a substitute from the other?
So I think the biggest thing here is that, indeed, the ANC, to be honest, they've done, you know, quite some good work, but also they've also failed, you know, drastically. And obviously, President Zuma was part of the ANC. He was part of the collective. And, and in the midst of what they did, we take the positive as the ATM because we only care about the positive. Even though he took this decision, or the ANC took this decision for free education when they saw that they were at the corner, we still accept them. We want to build from those radical decisions, you know, decisions that really, you know, focuses on benefiting, you know, the black people or the previously, you know, marginalized people in this country. So we take that and we move forward with it. There may be other dynamics that were there. And so that's why we're saying we want to continue on that trajectory as the ATM.
Sure.
And currently the GNU or the coalition between the ANC and the DA would not offer us that. I mean, they're even arguing now in terms of NEFSAS. You know, DA wants to go there and argue because they are against, you know, NEFSAS or what they want to be issue loans to students. They are against NHIU because they are saying, well, they don't support that. They are for the private medical schemes, you know. So there's so many things that really you can see to say, you know, when something is rushed because of external forces, like to say you and you meet. You know, have a plan, see how you, that's why we're saying for us, what was going to be proper was going to be for us to have an action plan to say, this is the action plan going forward. This is what we need to do. Have that discussion first. Agree on that discussion. See agrees, who does not agree.
But Luyanda, that's why they had a contract, whatever they call that thing. I think it's a contract or GNU statement of intent. Where there was a discussion and there is a book as well that tends to, okay, I'll say what, some laws which will govern that arrangement. And there was also post-elect or post-cabinet that they're going to host a national Imbizo where all parties will bring in their views and then they will form a policy direction that is more from a unified point of view. So I think that's what the GNU is all about. You're telling me it's exactly what the GNU is going to be doing. So don't you think you could have, maybe you've missed an opportunity here as a party?
No, this is where we say on us, what they're going to be calling Ilekhutla and discussing the policies, we're saying that should have been the first step to say, what is the direction that you want to take? Discuss the direction that you want to take for the next 5 years.
Sure.
Once you've discussed the direction, see who fits in that direction. See who's best gifted or capable to run with this responsibility, to run with the responsibility, as opposed to start having a statement of intent about position. You know, how we're going to handle between us as parties, how we're going to allocate positions. Then after you then discuss the program of action. Meanwhile, we are miles afar in terms of policy, positions.
But then the problem with a GNU or what informed the GNU was votes. The votes dictated that GNU must be formed.
Exactly.
So therefore, they could not have. Remember, the DA had something called the Moonshot Pact, or whatever they call multi-party charter. And I was speaking to Action SA right now, which they felt like DA sold them out. And I was making a point that if the parties that were aligned with the DA could have been a majority. They could have been a multi-party charter government right now. But because they did not do as well, now there had to be compromises and there had to be change of compared to the drawing board. And that drawing board became a part where ANC and DA met up, IFP, and they said, you know what, we need to make a circle bigger. Then we call it the Party of what? Government of National Unity. And UDM left your Progressive First corner. Al Jamaa left your Progressive corner. And all of them, they had like one or two seats, which give them ministries which are somehow strategic in government. Don't you think ATM missed that opportunity?
No. I think the key is around those with a voice, is around the direction of the country. And currently, the direction of the country within the GNU is going to be determined by the ANC and by the DA. The IFP is a DA light, it's part of them. So that would be the direction, really. Those are the big forces. So in actual fact, take the ANC. ANC is divided in half.
Sure.
Half is about people who then would think would align to us as the ATM, want real changes. Half of that would be the ANC that is led by Ramaphosa and the crew, which is really the same as DA. So the majority of people are the people really who want to continue with the same, trajectory of, privatizing, Transnet. You'll see the group that really Pravin Gordhan fits in, who sold SAA for 51 rand, and when it was investigated, he wants to run away. People who collapsed Eskom, as is now, because they wanted to push IPPs. So it's a very group of people that are there. So clearly the direction, no matter how much you want, you can't change that, because it's a group of people who want to work for the private sector and for their interest. And if people think they'll gain something out of the ANC and the DA coalition, they must forget. They must forget, because there would never be real changes that would benefit, black South African in this country.
But maybe somebody else would say, why don't you accept the invitation, be part of the cabinet, and be the ones who challenges them in those meetings to bring about the change that you suspect might not come along? So since you're in the room already, why don't you join the party and make your voice louder?
Now, I think the direction is clear there. And we don't want to be part call it a collateral damage. When people wake up tomorrow and say, actually, we made a mistake here. We don't want to be part of that. And that is why I said to you, we are principled people. And what we said when we came into parliament, we're still the same thing that we're saying today. We're still challenging, President Ramaphosa as of today. For us, we want people who are genuine about changing the country. We want people who are genuine about really uplifting, the youth from, the scourge of poverty that we are in, the scourge of unemployment. But that unemployment should not really be a mayor, just because, we want real unemployment that is going to change people. We want to transform this economy to be owned by, South Africans. We want to take the township, inner city, rural economy, give it to South Africans. We want to take the land in real terms. We want black people to own insurances. We want black people to own banks. And that is the real change that we want. You would not achieve that with this current GNU.
I'm going to come to this part because I understand that you guys are very close with MK Party, maybe because you align ideologically with that, but also it's because we didn't see the same attitude and tenacity during Zuma's time. You only see your tenacity against Cyril. And there is a rumor that you also might be MK Lite.
Well, ATM was really formed in 2018. We formed 2017. We registered with IEC in 2018.
Yes.
But we're doing the groundwork from 2013 or so, you know, talking to various people, various organizations until 2016, 2017, where we started obviously hitting the ground, talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
2018, we registered for the elections. At that time, Zuma was still within the ANC and I think was the president. He got ousted in 2018. And already, I mean, the next year we were contesting election. So ATM was on full force when President Zuma was fired as the ANC president. We continued to be part of the ANC. We continued as the ATM. And I mean, if you read our first manifesto, already we're calling for the land expropriation without compensation. We're calling for the economy to say South Africans must benefit. We're calling for the inclusion of traditional leadership and religious leadership into the economy. You know, you find instances where a councillor in the rural areas is taken much more serious than a king. You know, we wanted to change those things and really bring dignity to us as Africans. And so we've been on that trajectory for a very long time. And our ideology, I don't think anyone can question our ideology. It's very clear. So with the introduction of MK, well, you know, it's part of, we're aligned in terms of ideology, but even though we're aligned, but there are some other things that we don't align. But in the bulk of things, we're aligned. I mean, you've seen our president attending EFF rallies and that because ideologically we're aligned. He's gone to PAC, he's gone to ETM because ideologically we're aligned. So even with the MK, we align with them because of ideological. And there's nothing more, there's nothing less than that. We remain an independent party led by President Vuyo Zungula, and we'll continue on that trajectory.
So the view or the rumor, you know, because we hear things, it's not me, it's a rumor.
Yeah.
You don't have to answer it, but I wish you would.
Yeah.
That Jimmy Manyu, who's a spokesperson of the Zuma Foundation, became the national spokesperson of this party. And there was a rumor that actually you were more, because even your ideology with MK Party, you mobilize kings, you mobilize religious communities. Exactly what the MK Party did. If you saw their event in Orlando, you would literally think that it was an ATM arrangement because your base, your messaging, your targeting, it's exactly like MK Party.
So, Mzwanele, because I think he prefers that name.
Yeah.
Mzwanele Manyi actually joined the ATM. Maybe to give you a brief history on ATM.
Yes.
We first registered as ATC. We struggled, we were kicked back by, you know, IEC. Like I told you, we started mobilizing as early as 2013 on this part. 2017 to 18, we had launched all across the country the party. And Mzwanele joined on the eve of the elections. I mean, I think we're 4, 5, 6 months towards the election. At that time, I mean, we experienced a blackout on the media. You know, having inviting all the media, no one showed up. And they only showed up when Mzwanele joined the party because he has been, you know, a previously political figure. He's joining in the ATM. He joined because he was part of the Bantu Church. Bantu Church at that time being part of the Council of Masonic Churches, the organization that formed the ATM. That's how we joined the ATM. So we had no links whatsoever.
Would you just say he was deployed by Zuma to go and take care of his interest in the ATM as a spokesperson of the foundation?
As far as we understand, no.
I
don't know what he had discussed with Zuma. Maybe it was close to him. But for us, I mean, our president has never met President Zuma. I've never met President Zuma. The only time that we interacted with President Zuma is because some of the churches that we belong to, you know, he used to visit that as a president of the state.
Yes.
And once he was removed as a president of the state, he was never there. Before President Zuma, Thabo Mbeki was invited. All the presidents really were invited there. So there's no direct link. I mean, the ANC on its own accord, you know, investigated the rumors that, you know, ATM was formed by President Zuma. Some say President Mahashule. You know, there are a lot of things. They investigated themselves and they found that was not true. But obviously that would not be published. I mean, the ANC investigated, I mean, at that time when the ANC, you know, initiated the investigation, was under President Cyril Ramaphosa.
Yeah.
So if there was anything untoward, because at the time they wanted everything to kick out Cyril as Mahashul as the SG.
Yes.
So that would have been a very good weapon for them to use, to say you are part of the formation of ATM, or President Zuma are part of the formation of ATM, to charge them. But they found nothing. So really there's nothing onto that. We remain an independent party and we'll continue being independent. Should MK tomorrow wake up and form part of GNU, good luck to them. We remain principled. We've got our own policies. We've got our own views in terms of how we want to brand the country. And we'll continue on that until people realize to say, this is the party led by young men. This is the party that is clear. This is a party that's got direction. And they know where they're going.
I'm going to come to this part here. Immediately after the election, there was GNU and Progressive Forces, right? And you are the ones who were leading it up. I saw Julius Malema joined you, PAC joined, UDM joined. What was the inspiration behind this? Was it because of not being happy about the IEC, how they dealt with the election? Or was there a broader perspective of why there was a grouping now called Progressive Forces?
I think what we need currently is a group of, you know, powerful and strong opposition to what is going on.
Okay.
And I think it's still early currently. You know, there's a lot of excitement. When people wake up, it's going to be late. And we think we need to fill in that space of, you know, having strong opposition and making sure that we hold the executive accountable. We expose everything that they're trying to do. I mean, to give you an example currently, the Minister of Home Affairs coming from the DA, the first thing that he wants to prioritize is the visas. You know, he says he wants to prioritize the skilled, he called it a skilled labor visas, to make sure that we've got, you know, enough skills. And really, we're not short of skills in South Africa. I mean, graduate currently are unemployed. But what is it that they're trying to do? You know, they are trying to build cheap, skilled labor from all the disadvantaged countries, you know, people who are qualified and bring them here. Because currently there's a view that, you know, skilled professionals in the country are expensive. And that's what white companies are saying. So they're trying to flight the economy.
Cheap labor.
And therefore they can create cheap labor. They've done that successfully on the lower skills job by, you know, dominating and getting, you know, cheap labor from Zimbabwe, from Maputo. That is why black people, currently South Africans, they can't find jobs because they can't compete. It's not that they're not skilled, but because the labor has gotten so cheap that you can't work, you know, the entire day for 50 rand. Look at what they did now in the building that collapsed in Cape Town. People were waiting for 80 rand. So they've done that successful in the lower skills. They want to move now and make sure that they do the same thing on the professionals. Now, that is not the government that works for the people. It's a government that continue working for the interest of the whites on their companies. And ANC really, you know, is taking part on that collectively. That's what they're trying to do. So we're saying we're in opposition parties that are really clear in terms of we want to benefit our people in real terms. We don't want to be part of, you know, what they are doing. We want to protect the interest of South Africans and want to grow that. And for us to do that, we need to be united as the opposition so that we continue to exposing these. I mean, our president, right on this issue, has already exposed this minister, is already, you know, trying to cogitize people to say this is the direction they want to take and these are the consequences. And and a lot more is still going to come.
I'm going to ask you then, what then informed the decision of PAC, Al Jamaa, and others, UDM, to jump ship and go to the other side? Maybe did they maybe view your position as more of unrealistic, maybe, or they felt like they could be more useful in power, questioning the guys on the table about these issues?
Well, they're independent parties. They know why they took those decisions, which we're not privy to. But for us, it's a matter of principle. And I don't think if it was a matter of principle, and, you know, because it's clear, you know, if the ANC and the DA coalition is taking us in a different direction. So I don't know what prompted them to join that. Definitely regarding, you know, PAC, there's not going to be expropriation of land without compensation.
But they are the Ministry of Land.
They are there. They're not going to achieve that. So I don't know what drives them. But I mean, good luck to them if that's what they, you know, they think they'll contribute there. But we remain, you know, part of the disadvantaged people, part of the people that want to see real change happening. And for us to do that, we'll remain as opposition.
Somebody would say, we voted for you, ATM, to be part of government, for you to govern, for you to take decisions and engage with powers that may be. However, if you choose to be a spectator in the game that you have an opportunity and a chance to join and become a stronger voice in the table, you are literally you're not doing what we sent you to do, because we didn't vote for you just to go and be on the benches. We voted for you so you can be part of a ministry, part of a cabinet, direct the national conversation, to direct the national policy, so that at least we know that you are represented as your voters in those cabinet meetings. Just like other parties said, you know what, it's fine. I don't like DA, I don't like ANC, I don't like whoever, but my people have bestowed upon me this vote so that I can be part, criticize, engage, and be part of the discussion, be part of the table.
Yeah, no, indeed, we are part of government, part of the parliament and part of the legislature. Mm-hmm. So we don't really have to be part of the executive, you know, for us to be seen as being part of the government. We're there in parliament and we'll continue holding those, you know, that are, you know, charged with power, you know, to, you know, some responsibilities and hold them accountable.
Mm.
Like right now, I mean, we've posed these questions to the Minister of Home Affairs to say, please address this question, please clarify on these questions. And that is part of us, you know, being active in government. Mm. We held, you know, Palapala right now, and we still continue on that, holding people accountable. There are a lot of things really that we're addressing. We've written to the Minister of Labour to say, but we have to look at this. You know, we can't have, you know, foreigners dominating, you know, the economic sector to a point to say we don't have powers to bargain. I mean, if today I can rise up at work, I'm saying I'm not happy with this salary, please pay me, you know, 3 rand. They'll just say, oh, it's fine, we'll replace you tomorrow. They can get someone who's cheaper than me. So those are the things that really we need to fix, and we're doing exactly that as part of the committees in parliament, advocating our voice and holding the executive accountable. You know, there's no government more than that, and holding the executive accountable. And I think we're doing exactly what the representative, what people voted for us, wants from us.
I'm going to look at the current cabinet as much as you're not part of it, but certain names were mentioned, like your Katie McKenzie, Angie Motshega, from Groenewald, from VF Plus, and ADA for Ministry of Education. What was the party's feedback from seeing all of this?
Well, for us, it's just allocation of positions for now. We've not seen much, so we'll see how it goes. And obviously, we'll continue holding them accountable. We hope that, you know, the responsibility that they have, they'll continue to work for the country and better the country, and we'll be happy with that. But should they take a different, you know, direction, we'll hold them accountable. But we'll see more.
One would say, after you've taken stock of this election and you have been around the country and got to see and also the votes that came out, what would the party be doing different to garner more votes going towards 2026 local government election?
I think we're part of a revolution. And, you know, it takes time for you to be in power.
Sure.
And you know, to effect your ideas.
So
for us, we'll be patient.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the DA, they've been in opposition, what, for 30 years since they took, you know, since...
Yeah, from 1994, yes.
So we only a fairly small party or fairly new party, call it that. So there's a long way ahead. And I think we need to continue preaching the message. One person at the time, they'll continue to understand us. We should not rest. We should be going out there, preaching the message and showing people the direction that this country is taking, to say, this is not the direction that we want. This is not the direction that will, you know, benefit your kids in future. But this direction will continue to benefit, you know, the biggest companies that we have right here. We'll never see, you know, black people really owning anything out of this government. So we'll continue on the trajectory, and hopefully, you know, one day things will work out. Yes,
my brother, I think it won't be justice if I don't ask you if the party, as I think now there's only two of you left in the Progressive Forces. I'm not sure which party is still within the circle, but I think it's only you and MK right now. Can we expect
some EFF
and the EFF? So therefore, are you gonna see this alliance on the grounds, on the floor of Parliament?
We hope to continue this way. And remember, our alliance is really based on principle. So if we continue to agree on principle, we'll continue working together. And hopefully, you know, because these parties are really, should they be weaknesses within them, then we're giving this coalition of ANC and DA, a free will. They'll do as they please.
Yes.
So it is in the interest of the country that these opposition, MK, EFF, ATM, and others, obviously, who are part of the progressive forces, continue to grow and continue to be stable, so that we'll continue to guide against people who will tomorrow sell something again for 51 rand. We must be careful, and we'll continue to grow on that one. And hopefully, it stays the course and till the next election.
Okay, I'm gonna, before I just let you go, you look at the next 5 years, the parties you said is still growing. What can we expect different going forward for the next 5 years?
Now, I think for us, one, we'll continue holding the executive accountable.
Mm-hmm.
We'll continue, submitting motions, progressive motions in parliament.
Mm.
We'll continue advocating to say, really, I mean, we're quite passionate about, going to the townships, going into the inner city and seeing spaza shops owned by, people from elsewhere. We're saying, really, that economy should be exclusively for South Africans.
Mm. Mm.
And we'll continue to advocate for that. We'll continue making sure that the jobs, non-skilled jobs, or non-critical skills jobs continue being occupied by South Africans. We'll continue to advocate for that.
Mm.
We'll continue to advocate, for the land.
Because
without land, we are nothing. And in real terms, and obviously I understand and appreciate you say it has become more of a rhetoric.
Yes.
But for us, we're quite serious about that.
Mm.
We want to see black, South African farmers being part of that and not form part of GNU, which wants to recognize Orania. We would not be part of such deals. We continue advocating for Cape Town to say, Cape Town, I think you should do something here. Property markets in Cape Town are skyrocketing.
Yes.
To a point where if we're a middle South African, black South African or anyone, you can't afford anything there.
True.
Because people from Europe have got a free fall there to buy markets. To a point now they have excluding South Africans. So we'll continue advocating such things and making sure to say President Zuma, come the next election, would be there in parliament and hopefully will become the next president. And that's when we'll see the real change.
Yeah, so as I say again, and is the part where I want you and who's the corner.
Yeah.
It sounds like ATM is an alliance partner of MK Party.
No.
So will the party ever figure out and get a situation where they say, okay, it's fine, you're gonna be at an alliance partner and just join MK Party, become one party?
No. No, that's why I'm saying, we've got the youngest president
But he didn't say Vuyo would be president. You said come next 5 years.
No, I said President Zungula
will be president.
No, I meant Zungula. Zungula. President Zuma is old. President Zuma is old.
Yeah.
And I think, it's something that MK should be discussing to say what are they going to do, coming on the next election, because really it looks like everything is built around President Zuma. But I don't want to discuss
other MK parties.
But for us, President Zungula has got a bright future, and if you look at his stature and how he conducts himself,
yes,
how he communicates, the issues that he raises in parliament. And definitely, if not the coming elections, then the following one.
Palapala.
He should be the president of the country.
Palapala.
Yes.
You said you were bringing it back. But however, remember, it was kind of struck out of the courts. Why are you still adamant that Palapala, there's still a case to be heard?
I think what President Zungula has been saying is that I think you saw the statement of intent.
Mm-hmm.
The statement of intent said that they will continue, they would not, DA was part of the vocal ones, including ATM, on holding, you know, Palapala or President Cyril Ramaphosa accountable. Right now, in the statement of intent, they've said that they would not vote, you know, against the impeachment of the president should we raise, you know, the Palapala issue. So we'll continue to raise it to expose these people, to say, right now they are up in arms about, you know, Judge Thlopo or Dr. Thlopo being part of, you know, JSE because he was impeached by the same organization. Yet the very same people are part of a coalition with the ANC led by somebody who's accusing Palapala of stealing dollars and money laundering. So we'll continue to expose the hypocrisy that is there, and President Zungula will continue doing that.
Is there still a case, though, in the court of law to be held? Because the public protector didn't see anything wrong. Some judges said, no, nothing wrong. What more can you, why do you want to, why are you adamant about it? Where is the loophole?
Remember when the judges obviously found that President Cyril Ramaphosa may have something to answer, then Ramaphosa took that to court. And when we're supposed to vote in parliament, they said, no, that thing is still in court, so we can't vote. And therefore, the ANC voted against that. Reason being, Ramaphosa took this on review on another court. But as soon as once they're done voting, they went and withdraw that. So that case has not gone anywhere. So we've gone back to court and says, in fact, this is what the ANC said in parliament. This is what the judges found. And because we're supposed to vote for a committee to look into this further, the ANC said, no, this thing, Ramaphosa took it in review. But now it's now we've withdrawn that. So there's still a case on that one, and we'll continue to pursue Cyril Ramaphosa and his DA and his DA light within the ANC to make sure that ultimately they are held accountable. We do what the voters voted for in the ATM to make sure that we hold the executive accountable, and we'll continue doing so.
My brother, I have to let you go, but let me also give you a chance to speak to the voters of ATM Party. The camera is right behind me, so you might have a message of gratitude or a message of wobble. You guys must vote next time. But yeah, there you go. That's your moment with the voters.
Yeah, no, I think the first part is to thank everyone who voted for ATM with trust in President Zungula. We'll continue holding the executive accountable. We'll continue making sure that, you know, the grievances or the South Africans or the disadvantaged South Africans grievances, real issues are being placed in parliament. And people must continue supporting us. And next time, you know, people should go out in their numbers and vote for the ATM and vote for President Zungula. Because surely the next, you know, national election, President Zungula will be the president of the country. If not now, the next one. And we'll continue on that trajectory.
No, thank you, my brother. That's Leander Msipa, Provincial Executive Member of ATM in Gauteng Province. Share your thoughts on the comments section. And also don't forget to subscribe and share this episode. Other than that, I am Bafana Mudise. And this was Beyond the Ballot, proudly brought to you by Podcast Party, where great minds don't think alike. Ciao, ciao. See you next time.